Hey, time for you to reach your full potential. Getting into health and fitness, this is what you're missing. Going harder, push it to the limit. Go on a journey with genetics coach, Laura Phillips. Yeah, here to take you to the next level. Been in the health and fitness industry since 07. Working with so many athletes, push it to the limit with world champions, yeah, and some Paralympians. Hey, working from Brisbane to Singapore. We train, we going hard, all out, we keep it raw. Laura Phillips, let's go.
Some of you may know that this podcast is now sponsored by Proteus Nutrition, which is a Singapore-based supplement company who are now shipping to Hong Kong, Malaysia, and Indonesia. My all-time favorite supplement is their magnesium, which I take every single night before bed. It noticeably improves my sleep quality and ability to recover from heavy training sessions. My clients notice the same thing. What I love about it too is that it's easy to absorb, easy on the stomach, and we all know that improving your sleep quality allows you to have greater energy levels for the next day. You can get 15% off your first order using the code PODCAST at the checkout. I also love their protein powders, which are arguably the most delicious on the market. So please be sure to check out Proteus Nutrition. The link to their website will be in the show notes listed, and let me know what you think. In this week's episode of Real Talk, I give it to you straight. I'm going to give you the breakdown on how to calculate your calories, how to calculate your macros, how to create a caloric deficit. If that aligns with your goals, I understand it's not the goal of everyone, so that you can finally get the numbers you need to make the most of your nutrition. It kind of baffles me that people still don't understand this very basic principle of calories in versus calories out, energy expenditure versus energy consumption. And I mean, if there was something of value that I could give to you for free, I wanted to do that because it's just so simple. It's basic, basic, basic maths. And people don't need to try all the fad diets that exist. They don't need to complicate things. They just need to do a few calculations and then figure out how they can eat what they enjoy eating while still working within these parameters. Now, again, I get that it's not everyone's goal. I get some people want to maintain weight and some people even want to build, and in which case you need to consume a caloric surplus. Though if your goal is to lose weight, and more specifically speaking, if it is to lose fat, this is the way to do it. I am not going to sell snake oil to you. I'm not going to sell you a magic supplement or a magic pill. I'm not going to give you the shortcut because there is no shortcut. This is it. This is the way you do it. So take your time. Pause, rewind, slow down the playback speed if you need to, and make sure you have a computer in front of you. You will need to open an online calculator to help with some of the equations. And if you want to take things a step further and understand how you can apply this to your goals and your circumstances, I'm right here. You can always reach out to me directly on Instagram. My handle will be in the show notes provided. And of course, using the other social media platform links in the show notes. So I hope you find this helpful. I really do. If you do, leave us a comment. Let us know what your main takeaways were. And if you have suggestions on future topics, I'm all ears. I want to talk about what you want to hear about. So let me know what you think of this episode, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one. I would love to know more about what you want to know about. I just want to give you a little bit of a rundown on how to calculate macros, caloric deficit, and calories here. Because again, I was speaking to a lady in my DMs the other day, and she just seemed to have absolutely no clue. Hey, Dr. Duraj, thank you for watching. She seemed to have absolutely no clue about how many calories she was consuming, whether she was in a caloric deficit, how many grams of protein she was eating. And she's like, I've been struggling with my weight for forever. I'm like, well, no shit, Sherlock. Like, you have no idea what you're eating. You don't know how many calories you're eating. You're not tracking. You're not looking at how many grams of protein you're eating a day. So, like, you can't change what you don't acknowledge. You can't change what you don't track. That shouldn't surprise people. If I didn't know that I could back squat 115 kilograms, how would I know if I improved next week when I squatted 105 or if I did 120? I wouldn't know that that was a personal best. This shit just should be basic.
You should be tracking what matters to you. You should be looking at how many quality minutes a week you spend with your partner. You should be looking at how many minutes a day you spend meditating. You should be looking at what you're lifting in the gym. You should be logging that, tracking that, how many steps you're getting, how many hours of sleep, quality of sleep. Basically, what matters to you, you should be logging and tracking in some way, shape, or form. And especially if it's an area that you really want to improve on. Let me just turn up the screen brightness here because I'm blind as a bat today. It's so dark in Singapore. Yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Like, sorry, not sorry. But somebody's just got to give people the honest truth because they're so confused with the plethora of information out there and a lot of it being misinformation. You've just got to hit it on the head. You just got to be like, look, no shit, you don't know if you're losing weight or how to lose weight. You don't know why you're not losing weight. It's because you don't know what you're eating in the first place. Basics, bitch. So with that said, I wanted to get into like a proper demonstration of how one goes about looking at their caloric intake and running the numbers behind that. So if you're playing at home, which you might be, you may want a bit of paper and a pen because it does get a little bit numbers heavy. And the way we begin this is you just go online, you Google total daily energy expenditure calculator. You can abbreviate that to the letters TDEE, okay, TDEE. And there's quite a few that pop up. So run the same maths over three or four different calculators and get an average. Now, the calculators are going to ask you for different things. They're going to ask you for gender. They're going to ask you for age. They're going to ask you for height. They're going to ask you for weight. And more likely than not, they're going to ask you for body fat percentage. If you know what your body fat percentage is, if you do not, that's another gap in the data to fill. And we can come back to that. From there, you can ascertain what your BMR is. So this is a bit of a two-step process, so just hang tight with me. Your BMR is your basal metabolic rate. That essentially is how many calories you need every 24-hour period, okay? Just because you're sitting still, breathing, sitting at a desk for 12 hours, doing very little to no movement, this is what you need. Hence the word basal, okay? So BMR, basal metabolic rate, that is what you will get to with those four factors. So your gender, your age, your height, your weight, and your body fat percentage, if you know that. From there, we need to add a step to work out your total daily energy expenditure. And that is going to require you to figure out your activity level. And this is where a lot of people go wrong. This is where a lot of people overestimate how much they burn. People tend to do this. It's human nature. We overestimate how much we move and we underestimate how much we eat. And that is just one contributing factor to the obesity epidemic. But let's not get into the politics of that just yet. So I have used the example of my typical client. I have run these numbers for a female who is 42 years young, not old, 42 years young, who is 160 centimeters tall. So that's just a little bit shorter than me. I'm 163 or thereabouts, who is 65 kilograms, because that's around about the typical weight of the woman I work with when they first start with me. And I have used a light exercise activity rating. You'll see this when you Google the calculator. So just again, I'm not going to put it on here. There's too much maths for me to put up on the screen or to put up where you are, but just Google TDEE calculator. You'll see when you fill out the prompts, there will be an exercise or activity rating. If you have a desk job and you're getting maybe 8,000 steps a day, and you might do one or two gym sessions a week, your activity rating is more than likely going to fall into the light exercise category, okay? So you might walk to the MRT, get to work, you might go for a walk at lunchtime, you might go for a walk in the evening, you might take an evening call going for a walk, and you might go for a gym class or two during the week. If that sounds like you, your activity rating is going to be light, okay? Now, it might feel like it's more than that. Your feelings at this point don't really matter. You need to just choose what's most accurate. And what's most accurate is usually less than what you think. Again, we have a tendency to overestimate how active we are. We do a lot more sitting and standing still than what we realize. So based on those numbers, so the example being a female who's 42, 160 cm tall, 65 kilos, and 28% body fat with a light exercise activity rating needs 1,899 calories per day. That's their total daily energy expenditure. That's an average that I've taken across three different online calculators. So essentially 1,900 calories a day. So if she consumes that many calories every 24 hours and her activity level remains the same, we would expect that she would stay the same weight. Calories in equal to calories out means your body stays the same unless something else happens. You might lose weight because you get an arm amputated. You might lose weight because you have some horrible stomach flu and you're sick for 3 days. You might put on weight because somehow you end up with some interesting illness, which, or you have to go on medication, which leads you to gain weight, okay? But outside of those, you know, outside of the box factors, we would expect that if that stays the same, your output stays the same and your input stays the same, your number on the scales and your body fat percentage would stay the same. So a lot of people are here because they want to lose fat, okay? How are we going to do that? In my previous live, I went through the two numbers that you need to lose fat. Not muscle. We don't want to lose muscle. That shit is hard to build. It's really damn hard to keep. To lose muscle, we need to be in a caloric deficit, which means we need to burn more than what we're consuming. And we need to ensure we're getting enough protein to prevent losing muscle mass. What is enough protein? Where I start with my clients is getting to 1.5 grams of protein per kilo of body weight a day. That's a little bit of a mouthful. So in this example, a person who is 65 kilograms, if we multiply 65 by 1.5, we get the number 97.5. So in this example, this person needs 97.5 grams of actual protein every single day. Not 97 grams of chicken breast, 97 grams of actual protein. Okay, don't get the two confused. So we need to go through a few things. Let's just rewind a little bit. She needs 1,900 calories a day to stay the same weight. Now, what we need is a deficit. So she needs to burn more than what she's consuming. How do we create a deficit? We're going to take that number and use 80% of it. So we're going to create a 20% deficit, which if we go 1,900 times 0.8, that's going to give you 1,519 calories. So 1,519 calories a day to be in a deficit. So this is what we need to lose weight. Now, weight loss and fat loss are not the same. Fat loss is when we make sure we're not losing muscle. Weight loss means you could lose muscle and we don't want that, okay? So again, how do we make sure we don't lose muscle? We get enough protein. What's enough protein? 1.5 grams of protein per kilogram of what you weigh every single day. In an example of a 65 kilogram human being, that's 97.5 grams of protein. Any questions so far? That's a lot of maths for this hour of the day. Please write them in the comment section. Please reply whichever platform you are on. Please drop it in the comment section if you're on Instagram. Let me know. So from here, the next step is to ascertain how many calories we get from all of that protein. That bit's really simple. Protein is 4 calories per gram. So if someone needs 97.5 grams of protein every single day, we multiply that by 4 because 4 calories per gram, and that will give you 390 calories. Okay, so we're getting 97.5 grams of protein, which yields 390 calories. Hopefully that is making sense. From here, I then like to look at carbs if this person is a really active person. And where I like to start with carbohydrates is roughly 2 grams per kilogram of what they weigh. If someone is a little bit more active, if they're more of an endurance athlete, if they do more high intensity based sports, then I would go closer to 2.5, maybe even 3 grams of carbs per day. For an elite level athlete, I'm going to look at more towards 4. If a person is training twice a day and they have a very active job, if they're on their feet a lot, if there's a lot of manual labor, I'm going to be potentially looking closer to 4 grams of carbs per day. In this example, this person has a light exercise activity rating. So they might twice a week, they might get somewhere between 8,000 steps a day, but they're not super active. Okay, chances are they're also spending a lot of time standing still or seated. They're not doing anything super physically demanding. They're not a bricklayer. They're not a carpenter. They're not a plumber. They're not an interior designer or decorator who is carting in furniture in and out of show homes and warehouses every single day. You get what I'm trying to say. So with a light exercise rating, I like to start at 2 grams per kilogram per day. In this example, this person weighs 65 kilograms. So that's easy maths. If we multiply that by 2, we get 130 grams of carbs. So in this example, this person is consuming 130 grams of carbohydrates per day. Now we need to figure out how many calories they get from that. And that's pretty easy as well, because we multiply that by a factor of 4. 4 calories per gram of carbohydrates. So 130 times 4 is 520. So just to recap for people who are just joining in, so far we've worked out that protein is 97.5 grams per day, which yields 390 actual calories. We've figured out that at 2 grams of carbohydrates per day, that's 130 grams of carbs. And how many calories does that work out to be? We multiply that number by 4. So 130 times 4 is 520. From here, we're left with the macronutrient of fat. And fat is the most energy dense of all of the macronutrients. This one is by a factor of 9. So there's 9 calories per gram. What we need to do here is we need to figure out how many calories we've got from carbs and how many calories we've got from protein. And then the balance in this example and in this instance is going to be factored in for fat, essentially. So we have 390 calories from protein, 520 from carbs, and that leaves us with 609 calories. So this is really easy. We just reverse engineer. 609 calories divided by 9 will tell you how many grams of fat to eat each day. So in this example, this works out to be 67.6 grams of fat per day. Now, with fat, I usually look at 0.75 to 1 gram per kilo of body weight a day for each person. So if someone weighs 60 kilograms, depending on their goals, depending where they are, I'm going to go anywhere from 45 grams of fat all the way up to 60 per day. Okay, it depends on the individual, genetic history, if they have cholesterol concerns, blood pressure concerns, their flavor preferences, if they like high fat foods, and if their cholesterol's fine, I might just give them a little bit more fat allowance and might just dial back the carbs a little bit, okay? So in this example, this is just a tiny bit over that 65 gram mark, but it's not a huge issue for me. It's only by 2 grams. If anything, I would be inclined to up their protein to 100 grams and dial back their fat to maybe 60, 65 grams per day. But this is kind of it, guys. Like, it doesn't have to be so incredibly convoluted. And that probably sounds like a very convoluted explanation, but it's just a few calculations, okay? Use an online calculator, figure out your basal metabolic rate, then apply the activity rating to figure out your total daily energy expenditure. That is online. These tools are free. It's not super sophisticated. You can also Google the Harris-Benedict equation, which is pretty damn simple. And you can figure that out yourself. From there, you have to work backwards in understanding what your goals are. So if you want to lose fat, then you have to create some sort of caloric deficit. If you want to lose weight and make sure that you're losing fat, it's a caloric deficit. Where do we start with a caloric deficit? We're going to go somewhere between 15 and 20% deficit on that number. So once you calculate your total daily energy expenditure, we're going to multiply that number by a factor of 0.8 to 0.85. Again, depending on your goals, depending where you're starting from, depending on your hunger levels, depending on sleep, depending on lifestyle, depending on a whole host of things. Well, that's typically where we start. From there, we work backwards again, and we want to figure out your protein first. Protein being the most satiating of all macronutrients, protein being essential in recovery from your training, protein being typically the most under-consumed macronutrient. So I like this, especially as we age, because it's going to help you to keep muscle mass, and muscle is so challenging to build, and it's such a challenge to keep. So my priority is always, 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 always to work out protein first. How do we do that? Take your weight on the scales, multiply that by 1.5, easy maths. Okay. In this example, for a person who weighs 65 kilos, that works out to be 97.5 grams of protein a day. Not 97 grams of chicken breast. No, 97.5 grams of actual protein. From there, we need to ascertain how many calories we get from that protein. That's really easy. We multiply that by 4 because there's 4 calories per gram of protein, okay? Is everyone still with me so far? I just had a comment. I want to read it out. I love this topic. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm learning this too so that I can help other women get their goal weight and strength. Amazing. Look, once you know the maths, it's just all about applying the maths. And it's not that flipping complicated, okay? People complicate things because people think things need to be complicated. People think things need to be a struggle in order to be worth it. People think things need to be hard in order to be worth it. It's like, I need to prove myself. You don't have to prove anything. Math is math, bitch. Like, fuck. Math adds up or it doesn't. Like, simple. So I want you to understand it's quite simple once you work out these key numbers. And then plug and play what you eat and how you eat into these numbers. You can be lower carb intake. You can get 2 grams per kilo of what you weigh. You could be 3. You could be 4. But at the end of the day, between these macro calculations and this caloric deficit calculation, you should be seeing a change on the scales. If you're not, it's because you don't know what these numbers are and you're not applying them. Your calculations are perhaps off. If you're using MyFitnessPal, what to say about MyFitnessPal? There's a lot of misentries in the database. The good thing about it, anyone can add anything to the database. The bad thing about it, anyone can add anything to the database. Okay, I've had people put in salmon into MyFitnessPal, and under fat, it has had 0, which is obviously not the case. Obviously, salmon is very oily. It has to have fat in there somewhere. So a lot of the time, what you enter doesn't add up to what is actually in the food. So you need to check your entries. You need to make time to read nutrition labels. People want to shortcut this shit. You can't. Read the fucking nutrition label. Read about what you're putting into yourself. Give a fuck about what you're putting into yourself. Read the nutrition panel per 100 grams, per serve. What's a serve? How many serves in a box? 12, 2, 3, 6? Like, you should know the answer to that shit. Look at the ingredients. The first ingredient listed is the most abundant. Then look at the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. Typically speaking, the things that are better for you are one ingredient, like broccoli, chicken breast, yogurt, where it's going to be milk solids and lactobacillus acid. Okay, 2 or 3 ingredients. Simple. The body likes simple. It knows what to do with that shit. So I went on a little bit of a tangent, but no one's surprised. Let's go back to protein. So you work out your total daily, you work out your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, then you work out your total daily energy expenditure using an online calculator, because the math is a little too complicated for me to run through in this format. From there, you work out what a deficit looks like for you. If that's your goal, if you want to lose fat, then you work out a deficit. If it's not your goal, cool, no shade. This is not for me to ascertain. This is you, your life, your body, do with it what you want. But if you want to lose fat, we need to have 2 things. Caloric deficit. What's a caloric deficit? It's going to be somewhere between a 15 and 20% decrease on your TDEE. So in this example, a female who's 42 years of age, so 42 years young, she's 160 centimeters tall, she's 28% body fat, and she's 65 kilograms with light exercise. Using an online calculator, we came out with 1900 calories, okay? So 80% of that number is going to give you a 20% deficit. So we need a caloric deficit in order to lose weight, right? And that works out to be 1,520 calories per day. Now, we want to make sure we're not losing muscle. How do we do that? We make sure we get enough protein. What's enough protein? Starting point is 1.5 grams per kilo of what you weigh every single day, okay? So 65 kilograms, if we use this example, times 1.5 is 97.5. Easy. Now, if we work out from there, how many calories we get from that much protein, very easy, we multiply by 4. Why? There's 4 calories per gram of protein. Easy. Now, from there, you can work out fat or you can work out carbs. Someone who's more active, I would look at carbs first because that's going to be a higher priority. If they're physically active, they're going to need more carbohydrates before their exercise. If they're a very, very labor-intensive person in terms of their work, carpenter, bricklayer, someone who works in a warehouse, someone who's on their feet a lot, maybe a touch rugby referee, somebody who works in sport, maybe a sports coach, you know, just to give you some example, someone who works out every single day, an elite level athlete, someone who trains twice a day, an endurance athlete, so someone who's cycling for 2 or 3 hours at a time, we are going to be prioritizing their carb calculation next. And that, depending on the person, I like to start with my clients at 2 grams per kilo of body weight, typically speaking, because my clients tend to come from the corporate world. They tend to be seated for prolonged periods. They tend to be on long haul flights. They are not the most physically demanding of jobs, very mentally demanding jobs, but not very physically demanding jobs. And they may train 2 or 3 times a week. So their activity rating is going to fall into the light category, the light exercise category. That's not my label. That's not my judgment. That's what the calculator says. So don't hate me. Okay. So if we work out that we need 2 grams of carbohydrates per kilo and a person is 65 kilos, easy math, times 2, it's 130 grams of carbohydrates. How do we work out how many calories we get from those carbs? Easy. We multiply by 4. Why? Because there's 4 calories per gram of carbs. So 130 times 4 is 520. So now we know that we get 390 calories from protein and 520 calories from carbs. Then we add those two numbers, which works out to give us a 609 calorie balance. So that means that we have 609 calories left to play with in our caloric deficit. So now we need to work out fat because that's the only macronutrient we haven't worked out. How do we do that? If we know that we have 609 calories left, we just divide it by 9. Why 9? Because there's 9 calories per gram of fat. What does that give us? 67.6 grams of fat. Bippity boppity boop. Like, easy, guys. Seriously. So then the goal is to be hitting 97.5 grams of protein every single day. This is where I start with my clients, is get to that number. And it usually takes my clients 12 to 16 weeks to get there consistently. Actually, more like 12 to 20 weeks, just depending on the person. Some people really, really gravitate towards protein-rich foods. Some people really do not. Some people, it's much more of a push. When I first started eating this way, it was definitely a push. It took me a while to get used to. But such a game changer once I observed this way of eating. Such a game changer. Less hunger pains, felt like my mood was more stable, energy was more stable, my performance in the gym skyrocketed, muscle definition came a lot easier, my body composition just started to change at a much faster pace. So where I start with people is I want you to get to 1.5 grams of protein per kilo of what you weigh every single day as soon as you sustainably can, okay? Now from there, depends on the person, if they easily hit their fat intake, which most people do, just because it's so energy dense, for most people, that is not a struggle. It's actually the least of their struggles. Then I'm trying to get people to eat carbs before training. Did you have a banana before training? Do you have coconut water that you can sip during training? Did you have some toast with your eggs at breakfast before we train today at 9? These are some of the questions we then want to start asking. And this tends to be a little bit more effort for people than fat intake. Fat intake, you know, the whole cold cuts and cheese that goes with that wine on a Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, that tends to fill up that fat allowance, for lack of a better word, allowance, really quickly, quite easily. So that is not so much of a focus for me, generally speaking. If anything, it's quite hard for people to cut their fat intake back. And carbs tend to be more of a push. So guys, it's because it just kind of baffles me that in this day and age, this is not more common knowledge, and that people are still complicating this far beyond what they need to. It's really not that hard. Once you have these numbers, it's really just about sustaining this way of eating. And by sustaining, I mean doing it more often than what you're not. And I mean doing it day after day after day after week. To me, this is not built into your lifestyle until you can show me that you've done it for a year consistently. And that's a whole host of skills that get to be developed in that process. The skill of weighing your food, of logging your food, of entering your food when you eat out at a restaurant. How do you then adjust and adapt your food entries? Because the meal is not always going to be in the tracking platform that you use. So then what do? Making the time to do it. I mean, a lot of people fuck up because they don't make the time to do these things. They're like, oh, it just shouldn't matter if I eat however I want to for 2 or 3 days. But then they're surprised when they get on the scales after the third day and they've put on 1.5 kilos. It's like, what, are you fucking sick or what? I mean, your body notices. You may not notice, but your body notices. So it's just a series of calculations based on pretty stock standard information about you, your gender, your age, your height, your weight, your body fat percentage, and your activity rating, which is where most people go wrong. Most people think they're more accurate, think they're more active than what they are. When in doubt, I would choose one rating down on your activity level and see how you feel. If you're insanely hungry all the time, okay, maybe you chose the wrong activity level. If you find that you're quite okay and you're not super hungry, it's manageable amounts of hunger, then yeah, you probably chose the right activity rating. But again, you don't really know this until you've stuck at it. You should be sticking to this for at least 2 weeks before you have a sense of how your body feels, how your body's responding, whether these are the correct numbers and metrics for you, whether something needs to be tweaked. But this is, you know, a lot of people can't stick to anything for 2 weeks. So, it's pretty hard to figure out if this is going to serve you unless you're absolutely able to stick to it for 2 weeks. Do I think you should be logging food indefinitely? Not necessarily, but do I think you should do it for a long enough period of time where you can then start to eyeball food with 90% accuracy with regards to how much it weighs and what is in it? Yeah. If your goal is to create change and keep that change, then absolutely. Again, people just don't seem to understand how much time it takes to build skills. We see children all the time who need help building skills, social skills, physical skills, kinetic skills. They need to learn maths and what have you at school. But as an adult, it's like, oh no, we've got this all figured out. It should just be, you know, click of the fingers, bippity boppity boop, and everything works. No. Learning how to squat, you know, learning how to back squat your body weight, 1.5 times your body weight, 2 times your body weight takes time. Same with deadlifting, same with bench pressing, same with understanding nutrition. There's a lot of skills involved in getting to that point where you are self-sufficient enough that you can do this by yourself without having someone look at your numbers all the time. Like, that takes a long time and it shouldn't come overnight. It shouldn't come in a heartbeat. There's a reason why people go to university for 4 or 5 years and study, even longer, 6 years, and study this. It's because there's a lot to understand, and you don't have to understand the chemistry behind everything. But if you can't wrap your head around those numbers that I just went over, the BMR, TDEE, the deficit, and how to work out protein, carbs, and fat. If you can't get your head around those 6 equations, not only should you not be surprised if you can't lose weight and keep it off, you just shouldn't be surprised if you're not performing at your highest level on a regular basis, because this is kind of what's required to do that. You need that many carbs to fuel your lifestyle. You need that much protein to build muscle and keep muscle. It's just basics, guys. I mean, truthfully speaking, those 6 equations are basics. It's nothing fancy. It's not really that beyond you to work out. And again, if you can get your head around those six equations and get really good at applying those calculations on a regular basis, you should start to see some change pretty quickly. But again, you have to be consistent, and consistency means doing it most of the time and trying to get even better at being consistent and get even better at being consistent to the point where it is your lifestyle and you don't have to think so much about it. But that's a bit of a right that you have to earn from doing it. You don't get good at walking because you took two steps once and fell on your ass. That's not how any of us get good at walking. It's because we practice. We stand and we fall and we stand and we fall and we stand and we fall. And before you know it, we can walk all day, every day and not even think about it. It's the same. It's just building a skill. And the way you build that skill is by also building your awareness. And again, looking at nutrition labels, looking at ingredients list, looking at different products of the same nature. So looking at different mayonnaises, looking at different potato chips, looking at different types of milk. Is one going to be better to have before training versus another? Should you have a banana before training or a pear? You just can't answer those questions without making an effort to understand it in the first place. It really doesn't have to be so complicated, and it's actually not. Again, you want to lose fat, go back to my previous live training, and it's two numbers. It's caloric deficit and sufficient protein. From there, all you have to do is work out the other two macros, which is carbohydrates and fat. I will add that factoring all of this in, you still need sufficient vitamins and minerals. There's no way to go about that. If you're not getting sufficient vitamins and minerals, chances are you'll end up with some sort of deficiency. And then some sort of system in the body is going to suffer as a result of that. It's not going to perform at its highest level. The vitamins and minerals we get from typically from fruits and veg are going to be the most abundant source and the easiest source to get. From grains, for sure. Some people digest grains really well. Some people do not. So it's really about knowing yourself and understanding what digests well for you. No point consuming a fruit if you don't digest it very well. So it's not just enough to understand your macros if you're also not getting enough vitamins and minerals. And that's where the whole if it fits your macros crowd kind of shoots themselves in the foot, because they don't understand the value of vitamins and minerals. So micronutrients, micronutrients and vitamins and minerals. That's really worth talking about. And that's really, really, really important too. We know there's huge downfalls to not getting enough vitamin C, not getting enough zinc, not getting enough selenium, potassium, copper, manganese, like the list goes on. There's so many vitamins and minerals. So eating a variety of fruits and veg, especially that digest well with you, is critical in getting all of that. So be sure you factor that into this equation when you're calculating your TDEE, your deficit, if your goals relate to weight loss and fat loss, your protein, your carbs, your fat. You really want to make sure you're getting a nice spectrum of vitamins and minerals as well. If you can digest grains well, good for you, include some of those. If you can digest legumes and lentils well, some people do, some people do not, but do, again, what digests well with you. How do you know if you don't digest food well? I mean, your body will tell you. You get things like brain fog, fatigue, indigestion. You might feel bloated. You might feel like you've been slowed down or weighed down. These signs and signals will be given to us from our body. So it's a matter of tuning in. Your body's not going to send you a letter in the mail and be like, please stop eating kidney beans. No, it's not going to happen that way. You have to tune in. When people ask me what food they should eat, usually my answer is you should eat what digests well. If you like a food and it digests well, it's ticked two huge boxes. And that for me is really, really, really important, especially if you want to eat well and in a sustainable fashion. So that's worth mentioning too. But I hope you found this to be informative. I hope you've learned something. If you want the rundown of this, if you want this written out and you want like the PDF version, shoot me a message. If you're on Instagram, message me directly. If you're on the other platforms, please just leave me a comment so I can revert back to you and get your email address. And any suggestions for future topics, I always want to know what you want to know about. I don't like guessing. I like to be told. So if you can indicate to me what you appreciate about this episode or what you want to learn more about in the future, I am all ears. Please let me know. Outside of that, if you're in Singapore, please stay dry. It's super rainy today. And I look forward to seeing you in the next training. Thanks for watching.
Guys, that's it. That's a wrap. That's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Real Talk with your gal pal. That's me, Laura Rogers. Please be sure to leave us a review. Give us your feedback on what else you would like me to talk about. I always want to deliver content on things that excite you and that are going to benefit you in your health and fitness journey. So do give us a review. Before you forget, I know you're busy. I've got to run off and record another episode. Do check us out on the other social media platforms listed below as well, because you might just like what you see or hear there. So, you know, be sure to do that. I look forward to catching up with you in the next episode. And again, please leave us a review. Let us know your thoughts. It would mean the absolute world to me. Stay healthy. And I'll see you in the next one.